Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
If patience is a virtue, what's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast? The podcast that watched all of the Police Academy movies in order. He's sick of paying dues to the Podcasters Union. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I might be, as you should expect, Doug Jones, your Medicare specialist for today and maybe for the rest of the week, as my Canadian nephew Drew McMillan just announced. I am here to help you feel really, really good about that transition to Medicare that you may be looking at in your future. If you've already passed through the portal from Obamacare land to Medicare land, then you probably know what it's all about. And I don't know why you're listening to this podcast again, but we're always happy to have you. But for those of you who have yet to cross through that portal into Medicare land, let me give you a little hint, a thing that's going to make it easier for you, less frightening and more satisfying, is going to be a copy of my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. If you go to Barnes & Noble, or if you go to Amazon.com and put that into the search window, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023, you're going to find several editions of that book, but all of those editions are going to have the same great Medicare knowledge. What I've done, and I think I've done it successfully because I've got tons of 5-star reviews and many positive comments from people, what I've done is simplified the knowledge that one needs to deal with Medicare. In other words, it looks like there are a million different choices to make as you approach Medicare, and you don't know when to exercise your choices and on and on and on. And by the time you've spent an hour and a half reading my book, you're going to know everything there is to know for the average person about dealing with Medicare. You're going to feel very confident. And if you have any questions, I'm going to be available to you because my contact information is right in the book. And if you want me to help you purchase the supplemental insurance that makes Medicare rock solid protection against high medical bills, then all you have to do is send me an email and I will spring into action helping you and your Medicare enrollment finish up in short order with very, very satisfying results for you. So go to Medicare or go to Amazon.com or go to BarnesandNoble.com and search for Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. Right now, I normally would start the search for Randy Carson, but I don't need to do that today because he's wearing the brightest, yellowest shirt ever created by mankind. Like I thought earlier, Randy, seems like you might have spilled scrambled eggs on that shirt. It really looks like you got a little sloppy with your breakfast. So what was the wardrobe experience like picking that shirt out of your closet today?
This one, it's one of these shirts, Doug, where it's always in the back.
Uh-huh.
And you're paging through your shirts and you're going, oh, I want to find something different today. And you just keep paging through your shirts and eventually you find this thing at the back. And you go, I haven't worn that in about 25 years. I think I'll wear it today. Unfortunately, many of those shirts that I've paged through and I find at the back, I can't get on anymore. I don't know, something about sitting in my closet, they shrink.
Yeah, that happened to me over the last year. Many of my T-shirts started shrinking. And frankly, they make me look like I swallowed a basketball. Now, how in the heck does that happen?
I have the same problem, but this one I was able to get on, and I don't particularly care for this color. I look like a big caution light, you know.
It looks like you're flashing in the middle of an intersection, and people should slow down and take care when passing through. You're absolutely right.
Well, some people should slow down and take care when they see me, but not for that reason.
Well, I just turn around and run the other way if I'm confronted with a scary thing. So, hey, I wanted to share something exciting with you. We don't hear often enough from some of our favorite correspondents. And as I mentioned a few episodes ago, Dominic wrote and asked questions. And I said, well, Dominic, you're a lot more curious than I am about Medicare claims history and some of the more esoteric elements having to do with Medicare. You've got more intellectual curiosity than I do. But then we crossed over episode 500 just a short while ago. And so it was so nice of Dominic, after I basically slapped him down, I said, don't bother me with your minutia. He sent us a beautiful note congratulating us on having accomplished 500 episodes. He said, I just wanted to congratulate you and Randy on getting 500 podcasts. Who knew there was so much Medicare to talk about? And then he said, I also want to convey a recent experience in the event that it may help your listeners. So this is the, you know, he's always thoughtful, and he had an experience that he thought might be helpful to others in the Medicare world. He said, shortly after applying for Medicare Part B, I received the dreaded IRMA letter. He's a successful guy, and the government had, when they found out his income level, they decided to slap the success penalty on him. IRMA stands for Income-Related Monthly Adjustment Amount. It's a penalty that they add to your Medicare premium because you have filed tax returns showing high earnings in the past. So he said, I received the dreaded IRMA letter indicating that my premium would basically double from $164.90 to $329.70. As an avid listener to Medicare for the Lazy Man, I immediately submitted form SSA-44, which is the Medicare IRMA life-changing event. He was hoping for the best based on my advice. I've always suggested to people that if they come after you with an IRMA penalty, grab that form SSA-44. It's your only hope of talking them out of it. And so anyway, he indicated that he would be having a work stoppage starting July 10th, which is his retirement date. And then he said, I also included my estimated reduced income as a result of retiring. Social Security informed me that since my life-changing event did not happen yet, I would need to resubmit the request after the event or sometime in early August. So his lesson from that, life lesson that he took away from this event or this experience, sometimes it doesn't pay to be proactive. I think that was pretty hard for Dominic to have to realize, because he's a proactive kind of guy and an intellectually curious kind of guy. But in this case, my advice caused him to fall flat on his face. His hopes were dashed, and he has to now resubmit that form later in the year when the Social Security Administration may smile upon it more favorably. So anyway, he said, thanks again for all your advice. Regards, Dominic. So
I'm really glad to hear from Dominic. I love Dominic. He's our longest time, probably our longest time, most well-known listener.
Absolutely.
And he's just a great guy. And it was really nice of him to share that information. Now, my life-changing event would have been if they doubled my premium. That's my...
Well, fortunately, it takes an act of Congress to do that. So I think you're going to be safe there. But I wanted to respond to Dominic right away. So I said, what a heartwarming story that is, Dominic. Thanks for sharing it. And thanks very much for the congratulatory message. It's a pleasure to have you in the audience. And I didn't mention his brother. Remember, we had some encounters with questions asked by Dominic's brother. And they were always preceded by lengthy dissertations with footnotes, and so forth. And finally, I mentioned on the air, I said, this guy has to be like a librarian or something to have citations that he, you know, in various dusty tomes of ancient lore. And Dominic said, well, he's a lawyer.
So
that explains it.
We could have figured that out. But anyway, I wanted to let Dominic know that it really made me feel good that someone out there on the East Coast noticed that we hit the 500th episode. And that I consider that to be quite an accomplishment for Doug, because this is a lot of work for Doug, and he's been after it now for, what, 3 years?
It started in 2020. January of 2020 was our first episode. I think it was pretty close to my birthday, so the end of January of 2020. And we chugged along, and we've always done 3 episodes a week. We record 4, do 3, and eventually wind up with a backlog, and then we take a break and let the backlog work itself down to 1 or 0. And that worked out perfectly until you and Margaret decided to get COVID a year later. So January of 2021, all of a sudden, I'm sitting here looking at a blank screen, and I'm plaintively going, Randy, Randy,
I could have done a remote out of the hospital, but I didn't even, at that point in time, I really didn't even know where I was or who I was.
Well, that was their test in the hospital, as you described it later on. They kept asking you if you knew where you were, and if you knew where you were, then they were going to turn you loose, but you never could figure it out for a long time. No. So,
I did eventually give them the right answer, but I think I told you how I discovered.
Yeah, you had to get your GPS out. And
I got my GPS on my phone out and basically tracked myself down.
Well, that's, you know, that was a dark time for the podcast, because once we ran out of episodes that were prepared in advance, I did not have the skill or the experience to be able to take care of it. So it just sat here, you know, waiting for listeners. So anyway, when you came back, we have not missed an episode since then. Might have been late on a couple, and that would have been my fault. But I listen occasionally. I go to iTunes and I look for Medicare podcasts, and I've always listened to a bunch of Medicare podcasts. But it seems as though our competitors in the Medicare podcast zone aren't as dedicated to the task as you and I are, because they come and they go. And they talk big about, oh, yeah, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be the best Medicare podcast you ever listened to. And then, like, there's one that I listened to the first episode, and it was a couple of doctors. And their slant was more towards, let's talk to other people that take care of older people. So this would be for doctors and nurses and long-term care facilities and so forth. And they came at Medicare from the professional perspective. And so then I looked to see how many of their episodes I was going to have to catch up on to get to the current ones. And there were no current ones. They did it for about a year and all of a sudden just quit for no reason. And
I have a term for that.
What's that? What's that?
Lightweight.
Term?
Lightweight.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Oh, I wanted to point fingers and laugh, but now I'm thinking to myself, do I want to listen to these episodes? They did one a week for a year, 52 episodes, probably 45 minutes on the average. Do I want to listen to all those? Is there any benefit for that time? Or is that going to just be time that I'll never get back? And so there are a few other Medicare podcast series that I want to listen to, but none of them have cranked up 500 episodes. I'd like to think that within each of our episodes, there's a little gem of knowledge that's helpful to somebody. And then, of course, it's wrapped in a lot of messing around that you and I do.
Yeah. But, you know, I do have to announce, I don't know if you remember from our last episode, Doug, but I said everybody needs to have their pencils and papers and strap themselves into the chair, because there's a question I was going to ask you today.
Oh, yes.
May end up taking a bit.
Well,
so do you want me to ask that question, or do you want to go a different direction?
As I recall, you told me what the question was. I think it's an important Medicare question. So why don't I go through one element of content here, because my new content curator is going to be upset if her work goes unrecognized. So let me do that, and then I'll get back to you before the end of the episode, and we'll do the question and the answer that you've pulled from that list that we're working on.
This is the $64,000 question.
Now, I remember when $64,000 was real money. You remember those days when that was a lot of money?
Yeah, I thought when I was a kid, I thought that was probably about all the money in Nebraska. And it might have been.
It might have been back then. I know that my parents built a house in from 1959 to 1961. And the whole thing, it was on 8 acres out west of St. Charles, Illinois. And the whole thing cost about $100,000. And nowadays, I look at listings, real estate listings for $100,000 houses in St. Charles, Illinois. I swear to God, you'd have to fight the rats in order to be able to live with them,
It's a shack. It might have been a garage at one point.
I think shack is being too kind to some of these things. So let me get to some of this curated content, because I'm paying big bucks for my content curator, and I want her work to not be wasted. I want this to be a special addition to our quality shows. So here we go with telemedicine. Telemedicine was made easy during COVID-19, not anymore. And this thing is about 6 months old, but I think it's an important consideration, because when it became obvious that the Wuhan flu was changing things in this country in a big way, one of the good changes that I liked was the fact that telemedicine was finally recognized as a tool that would allow people to more conveniently pick the brains of their doctors. Now, it's not a substitute for every doctor's appointment, but I think there are a lot of doctor's appointments that were made in a more efficient manner and were certainly made more convenient by people in rural areas or in many different kinds of circumstances that found it inconvenient or expensive to actually go see their doctor. A virtual doctor's visit would be a very good substitute. So I was jumping up and down, and several times I said, this is a bit of progress that this panic has brought to us that should be exploited. And so basically this article is saying that now that the panic is over and that the Wuhan flu is not looming over everybody anymore, they're not all afraid, telemedicine is not being pursued like it was. So let me get into this article a little bit, and we'll see what it says. Telemedicine exploded in popularity after COVID-19 hit, but limits are returning for care delivered across state lines. That complicates follow-up treatments for some cancer patients. It can also affect other types of care, including mental health therapy and routine doctor check-ins. Over the past year, and this is during the year 2022, basically, nearly 40 states plus Washington, D.C. have ended emergency declarations that made it easier for doctors to use video visits to see patients in another state. Heck, I would use video visits to see patients down the street if given the opportunity. So anyway, this is all according to the Alliance for Connected Care, which advocates for telemedicine use. Some states, like Virginia, have created exceptions for people who have an existing relationship with a physician. A few states, like Arizona, that's where we are, and Florida, have made it easier for out-of-state doctors to practice telemedicine. Doctors say the resulting patchwork of regulations creates confusion and has led some practices to shut down out-of-state telemedicine entirely. That leaves follow-up visits, consultations, or other care only to patients who have the means to travel for in-person meetings. So let's see. They talk about a woman named Susie who's planning to have 2 upcoming trips to her cancer doctor in Boston. She needs regular scans and doctor visits to monitor a rare bone cancer that spread from her skull to her spine. She doesn't have a specialist near her home outside of Denver who can treat her. These visits were done virtually during the panic. She'll travel without her husband to save money, but that presents another problem. If she gets bad news, she'll have to handle it alone. It's stressful enough to have a rare cancer, and this just adds to the stress, the 51-year-old said. So, let's see, her oncologist seems to be more aggressive now than telemedicine regulation enforcement. Seems to be more aggressive now than it was before the panic, when video visits were still emerging. It just seems so dated, said the doctor. To state medical boards, the patient's location during a telemedicine visit is where the takes place. So that's the patient's location, not the doctor's location. One of McDonald's hospitals, Mass General, requires doctors to be licensed in the patient's state for virtual visits. Okay, that seems a little weird. It also wants those visits restricted to New England and Florida, where many patients spend the winter, but not to Arizona? Come on. That doesn't help doctors like McDonald, who see patients from around the country. Cleveland Clinic also draws a lot of patients from out of state. Neurosurgeon Peter Rasmussen worries about how some will handle upcoming travel, especially because winter can bring icy weather. This article was written in October of 2022. A fall literally could be life-ending for someone with a condition like Parkinson's disease who has trouble walking. Psychiatrists have a different concern, finding doctors for patients who move out of state. This is especially difficult for college students who temporarily leave home. Even people seeing doctors close to home can be affected. Let's see, a pediatrician. His practice has patients in Maryland. This guy's located in Washington, D.C. He has patients in Maryland who have started driving a few miles across the border into the city to connect by video. That saves them a 45-minute trip downtown for an in-person visit. It's silly, he said. If you're under a doctor's care and you're in the U.S., it doesn't make any sense to have geographic restrictions for telemedicine. I couldn't agree more. But the Federation also recommends that states loosen some telemedicine restrictions. Well, I recommend that as well. That includes permitting virtual follow-ups for someone who has traveled out of state to seek care, or for people who temporarily move but want to stay with a doctor. It's incredible how much time and effort these telemedicine visits could save, could relieve people of a lot of burden, the burden of cost and the burden of time and the burden of effort. So I am all for loosening up telemedicine restrictions. Okay, now the exciting part of the program is Randy's question. Lay it on me, Randy.
I have reconsidered this question, Doug.
Uh-oh.
I want to make sure we have enough time to give it its due. Mm. And this question is a really, really big one. Okay. So I'm going to leave it up to you. If you want to go for it, we can do that, or we can save it off till the next episode.
Well, you're being trepidatious about it. I'm guessing that the answer is going to be really long, and that's what you're concerned about, us running out of time.
Yes.
So I'm with you there. We have pledged not to waste our listeners' time. And if you think that's a risk that we're going to run, then let's just bow out of this episode. Let everybody go about their business for today and come back another day, and let's try that question earlier in the episode.
Yes. Now, I do have a question for you, though.
Okie doke.
So put on your thinking cap.
Ugh.
I mentioned earlier that this question that I was about to ask that we will now trot out next time.
Okay.
That it was, I described it as being the $64,000 question.
Yes, you did.
How much in today's money is 1950 $64,000 worth?
I'll bet you it's, I'm going to say a factor of 10. I'm going to say the money then was worth 10 times what it is today. $6,400?
Well, you're on the right track, but $64,000 in 1950 money is worth right now today in 2023 money, $805,600.
Wait a minute. I was going the wrong way, wasn't I?
Mm-hmm.
So if we had $64,000 in 1950, we could buy the same amount of stuff as we could buy with $800,000. That is more than a factor of 10.
Yeah.
And it's also, you know, my mental process was ass backwards, but but that's, isn't that kind of pathetic? Can, you know, it demonstrates what many, I don't want to say just presidential administrations, but also Congress spends money like a drunken sailor. And it's pathetic how irresponsible our political leaders have been with our financial resources. It's disgusting.
Absolutely. It's scary, because another way you could think of it is, okay, back in 1950, if you bought, and it's probably, you know, it's a good comparison. You were talking about your folks and how they built a house. Yep. Okay, you said it came in at about 100,000, and I don't know what year that was, but
59 to 61. I don't know when they wrote the last check, but
okay. So let's say it was 1950, because okay, it follows along with my story.
Yes, so let's do that.
If they built a $100,000 house in 1950, in today's money, it would be something over $1 million, and that sounds about right.
Yeah, it does. Frankly, that what I just did a little bit of math in my head, and it is not 10 times, but it's more like 13 times the inflation figure. And basically, when we have inflation, it's like a thief coming in and robbing, taking your money away. If your earnings or your investment proceeds don't continue to grow faster than the inflation, then the government has set it up in such a way that you're going to lose money. They're just taking money away from you. Because you remember what happened in Germany after World War I, which set the stage for World War II. The Weimar Republic said, okay, the victors in World War I are forcing us to pay all of the costs of them prosecuting the war, which was the cost for the Americans, the cost for the British, the cost for the French, and probably a few other little European countries. And so they were having to write giant checks to pay for the war, expenses that the victors had to incur. And so what did they do? They just said, hey, let's create inflated money. We'll just print money and our money will be worthless, but we'll be able to pay off that number of Deutschmarks or whatever, you know, they were using for a measurement of wealth, and they'd be able to pay it. So meanwhile, the people in Germany were the oppressed victims of this stupidity. And eventually, here comes Adolf Hitler saying, hey, I can fix everything. Step one, ignore the promises that were made to pay the war debts. Step two, let's start building up an army, and let's see if they come and stop us. And if they don't stop us, then we'll go to step three, which is we'll just take over some more real estate. And pretty soon you got World War II again.
Yeah, there you go. Well, anyway, I thought that was... interesting, and I would also say slash scary. But anyway, long story short, is we have used up our 75 cents worth of time that we
remember
always
when
budget.
That used to be a nickel. We used to be able to get this whole episode for a nickel, and now we have to pay 75 cents.
Well, back when I first got married, budget for our groceries every week. Now, keep in mind, I was 21 years old when I first got married, but our weekly budget for groceries was $20. Okay.
Ours was $10.
For 20, $10. I can't even get a drink for that up at the chip anymore.
Well, of course not. Not when you tip, you know, you have to tip the waiter, the bartender. But I remember that was the time when I discovered Rice-A-Roni, which cost, I think, 28 cents a box. That stuff was tasty.
Well, in my case, it was Hamburger Helper.
Did you ever have Hamburger Helper without the hamburger, just the helper?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Couldn't. I love hamburger. I still love Hamburger Helper. My wife won't fix it because she hates it, but I love Hamburger Helper. I'd still live on it today if I could.
I'm not allowed to have it either, and I don't know why. I do like stovetop stuffing, and every so often there's a holiday that comes along, and we get to have stovetop stuffing.
There's nothing like a big cup of ramen noodles either.
Well, I've never had ramen noodles. I really don't know what they taste like.
Oh, they're good. They're really, you can buy, you know, 75 dried, you know, cups of them, you know, like at a grocery store for like $4. and then you put some hot water in it, and you nuke it, and then you got a whole cup full of noodles with, you know, fake meat in the bottom.
Really? No wonder college kids love that stuff.
Oh, yeah. You can live on it forever. Well, anyway,
you're making me hungry. Let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here. We need to get some lunch. So anyway, we need to land the plane today. But before I do, and before the 75 cents that I've budgeted for today runs out, I would like to remind you that Doug Jones is a nationwide licensed agent to help you with a couple different things: your Medicare supplemental planning and your Medicare drug planning. You can reach out to him at dbj@mlmmailbag.com, or you can check us out on our website at medicareforthelazyman.com. Doug already talked about all the various ways and forms that you can get his paperback called Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023 version. So if you could do that, we would be ever grateful. But one other thing I'll ask you for, see if you could find a place to give us a rating on the podcast and the book. It means a lot to us because there's a lot of people in this game. I can remember the day, Doug, as we talked about, we got 500 episodes in. I can remember the day Doug said, let's start a little podcast. And I said, well, okay.
we'll do it once a month, and it'll be very relaxing. And
just a little podcast. I can remember vividly this. Oh, let's start a little podcast. Well, anyway, having said that, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma, now camped out in his fortress of solitude in the high altitude mountains behind Cave Creek, Arizona. And I'm going to chalk it in at about, I'll give him some oxygen today, 8,000 feet.
That used to be 800 feet before inflation. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be looking for our next opportunity to entertain and amuse you next time. Bye-bye.